the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Some hair options going on?
Well, yeah, you know, this is quarantine hair right now. You know,
you got your hair on lockdown too?
I know, it's all on, everything's on lockdown, your hair, your nails, you know, this is a new situation, nobody was ready for it, so, you know.
You know what, I'm kind of scared to go and get my nails done. I don't want nobody cutting back my cuticles. You know, all of that. I don't know what's going on. And they're breathing over me in the shampoo bowl. You get real close if they're doing a good scalp thing.
And see, most of everything is closed. They got that whole 6 feet, you know, situation happening. And
girl, yeah. Let me tell you about the situation they got here in California. Mm-hmm. Brains, I'll be with y'all just a minute, okay? I'll be with y'all just a minute. But let me tell you what's going on, Tiffany. Mm-hmm. Some people that I know, they got to get the change. They got to make their cheese. So they're still working at the hair salon.
Okay.
The governor of the hair salon, the governor of and the mayor have said that if you continue to work in non-essential locations, we're going to shut your power off and your water.
Oh.
Now, you know they do that remotely now.
Okay.
Can you imagine sitting in somebody's chair, shampoo bowl, and you got some perm or some color on your hair and the water is shut off?
Okay, that's the worst scenario. Now, that's where the natural hair comes in kind of handy, you know.
Right, natural hair or a hair option. I'm telling you, they're selling these all day long on Amazon, you know, so you can get your hair done. But we're going to get our hair done, and we're going to talk about some good stuff with my guest today, right there. Tiffany Witherspoon from Illinois Springs. It don't look like it's snowing. It's usually snowing still in April there.
Don't bring it up.
Brains, let me tell you about her. You know, she's got a break today. And I just thank God, and I'm sending you love and light, my sister. She's a nurse, okay, in the middle of a pandemic. She's also an author. She's a mother. And she's coming out with a new series of children's books. We're going to talk about all that and then some here on The Edge with beautiful Tiffany Witherspoon. How you doing, baby?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Girl, I'm hanging like cheetah from a vine.
Okay, all right. And that's all right then. I'm over here. I'm quarantining. Like I said, we're quarantining. So we're doing it comfortably.
And you're doing it beautifully. So tell us a little bit about you, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper and talk about what's going on and what you're seeing in the hospitals and how you're supporting people. I just love you so much.
Well, I don't know how far back I want to go, but I'm basically a former soldier, former truck driver. I'm a nurse. I became a nurse after the military, and I've been writing since the fourth grade. So this is the first venture of publishing that I went through in 2010. So I'm a mother also, servant of God. That's kind of first. I pretty much, it's a lot. It's a lot of detail. People find out things like, you know, the layers come off as I talk, you know?
Well, so. Again, well, we're about to get you butt naked. How about that? Here on The Edge. All right. So you say that you're a military soldier. Let's talk about that, because something happened in the news today, yesterday, that just broke my heart. Shout out to all of our military veterans as well as active duty. You are on the front lines right now fighting this, but it don't seem like you really have anybody that's leading you, like a commander in chief. And then when you go against opposition, against what the establishment says, you get relieved of your duty. Mm-hmm. From what I've learned is that, you know, a captain always protects his crew. Mm-hmm. You know, they come first. He's the last one to leave the ship. This time, he was the first one to leave the ship.
Wow.
What do you say to them in support of that? Because I know you're supposed to follow orders no matter what, but what do you say to them?
Well, you know what? I never had the chance to do war or anything like that as far as the orders. I do know the operation of the military from what I know. You know, it's orders, basically. You know, it's what you sign up for. You know what I'm saying? So you basically sign up to defend the country, and you may not always agree, but you sign up to defend the country, you know.
So, well, it's, you know, I don't know. So you drove a truck? Who does that? Or did you, was it a big rig, girl? Did y'all want a big horn? Yeah.
You know, 18-wheelers, two tons. Wow. Everything the military had to drive. I learned to drive it. I was the only girl in my unit at the time, so.
How did that feel?
You know, like you were with a bunch of brothers. Bunch of overprotective brothers.
I'm glad they took good care of you. And so you got out of the military and you stopped driving the truck and you wanted to still be of service and you became a nurse. Tell us a little bit about your nursing career and what you're doing now to help save lives during this corona outbreak.
Well, basically I started out, I'm with geriatrics right now. You know, that's where I'm kind of needed most, but I've been in every area but OB. So I pretty much have spanned everything over my career. I've actually seen a lot, you know, but in this pandemic right now, no, I've never seen anything like this. This is a lot different than anything that I've ever experienced in my nursing career. And the first time we've been on any type of front lines of any type of pandemic, you know, we had those things happen, but we weren't exactly worried about the transmission of those other diseases that we had, the H1N1, the SARS, and we weren't really worried about those the way we're worried about this one. So, you know.
It's breaking my heart to see, you know, because I got a soft spot for seniors. Oh my God, I got one in the bedroom in there too. Mm-hmm. She's 90. And she wasn't feeling too good the other day. And I said, you got to hang on in here, honey, with some Tylenol and all that kind of stuff, taking your temperature, because I can't risk, even if you are not, you know, susceptible or going through the, through COVID, King talk. Hold on, let me cut that. I know, cause I got a senior right there in the bedroom and I told her she's got to hang on and, you know, do the best that she can do because I can't even take you to an emergency facility. I'm afraid that you will contract something. Before this happened, I would put her all the way at the end of the aisleway before I would check her in at the doctor's because I just don't want her to catch anything. So, you know, are you finding that there are still challenges where you live in getting the supplies that you need to protect yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know, just the regular stuff, you know, mask, you know, we have gloves, things like that, but stuff like mask and the gowns that we have to gown up in, we're having trouble getting those things. It's like they're in demand, but they're in short supply.
Right, right. My daughter's a costume designer. She's trying to get certified. And I told her, I said, get busy. Get busy because this is a labor of love. You've done all that, but in between all that, you have been able to be an author and write a book. Tell us a little bit about your book. Let's see the cover of it. And I want to know what's inside the pages.
Okie dokie. Well, we have here The Promise. And this is a story about a young man I wrote, Anthony Freeman. Basically, it encourages young men and women alike. It really deals with everything. It deals with family secrets. It deals with people and their belief in God. It's also about him just trying to make it after incarceration. So this book kind of inspires people to just keep going because sometimes they don't know what they're getting until they open it up. Because, you know, I don't put the on the back. I just put the pictures.
Right, so, right, right.
You know, my hook is that first chapter. And I always tell them, I said, once you read that first chapter, you're going to want to keep going. So I was actually at a book signing before and the girl goes, well, what makes you think I want to read it and it doesn't have anything about it? I said, well, look through that first chapter. And if you don't want to bring me the money for it, then I'll be surprised. She came back with the money. So that was actually, you know, I enjoyed writing it. it was like the characters were people I actually knew. They're actually fiction, but they fit into the criteria of people that everybody knows. Everybody knows somebody like Anthony, or they know someone like the mother, or they know someone like his brother. So they can relate to it, you know, all races basically can relate to what this family goes through or has to deal with, as far as him trying to, you know, mend everything back together again for himself.
What was your writing process? You know, mm-hmm. what did you do? You know, when I write, I just kind of write and then I kind of put it together. I don't try to do it in any sort of sequential order. Mm-hmm. I do it by passion, what I'm feeling, what I'm eating, whatever at that time. What was your process?
You know what? I don't really work under a process. It's just something, if I sit in front of the computer or anything like that, then, you know, it comes out. But it's like I take walks in the morning most of the time. During those walks, it always comes to me, like a chapter or two will come to me as where, you know, something I didn't even think of, you know. I would just be like, okay, yeah, that fits together, like, you know, as if I'm collaborating with God, basically, you know. So I'm like, yeah, that kind of fits together. I wasn't thinking about doing it that way, you know, and you end up with some type of surprise in there that you weren't even ready for, you know. So my process, sometimes I tell people, and it's kind of funny to them because they go, you know, what's your process? I don't do outlines. I don't do backstories on characters. You know, I just, they come up and I have to put down what I see. You know what I mean?
How much time do you dedicate to writing?
Well, being a nurse and a mother and all these different things, you know, I'm very active in my church as well. So being all these things, it's hard to find time to write. But I've been pretty good at getting a chapter. You know, when I do sit down, making sure I do the whole chapter. So I found out that my process works a little better when I'm outside of my home, because when I'm in my home, I just, oh, let's go eat this. Let's go clean this up. And I'm distracted. So I may sit in a Panera Bread for a whole day or a Starbucks for a whole day. And
you ain't
get
sitting
it all
there now. You sitting at home.
You know, see? Now I got to write in the house, you know? So, yeah.
All right.
So
all right, cut. Put your book down. Okay. And so then now we'll pick it up from there. Hold on a second.
Okay.
So, you know what? You are doing so many fun things, you know, at home. You are also now starting to write a series of children's books. Where did that come from?
You know what? I had stepchildren in my former marriage. They were very young at the time. They were like maybe 3 and 4. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm always making up stories for these children to entertain them. And I was thinking, can I make up something that would teach them something about life? You know, kids need to learn things about integrity and, you know, following the rules, or if an adult tells you to do something, that they love you and that's why they tell you. It's certain things that drive home that without you having to sit them down and have them not understand what you're saying. So I put it in a story form. So I ended up doing 2 books because they were the inspiration for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you told me that your son is a wonderful illustrator, that
yes,
he's going to be doing some of the illustrations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Now, this child, I'm telling you, I've seen stick people turn into Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a parent does, we go, hey, that's looking good. Keep going, you know. And, oh, my goodness, this child. I mean, what's on my wall? I could show you a few things on my wall, but
Can I see them? Can you?
Can kind of pan up here. This is.
Oh,
his
wow!
Work.
Wow! Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. So I have his original work on my wall because I'm the number one fan.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't imagine anybody else doing my illustrating. Is very, very unique in his style of drawing. So he did draw my Peekaboo Pooh, and he did draw my Rosa the Ruler.
Wow. I'm excited about that. I'm really, really excited about that. Yeah. You're doing such amazing work, and you know, it's a big sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Being a mom is a sacrifice. What mm-hmm. would you say to mothers out there that may have an at-risk youth or you want to deliver a message of encouragement that they will get through, what would you say to them, Tiffany?
Well, you know what? It looks hard at first. It seems hard at first, you know, because, I mean, there have been times where, you know, you look at your child and you'd be like, oh.
I know. Who is that?
Are you going to make it, you know? You know, you get in them molds where you'd be like, oh, my goodness, you know. But then after a while, you start seeing things that you put in them come out, and it's the most, I mean, proud moment that you're going to have is just to see it come out as you put it in, you know. I mean, my child has said things to me that, you know, I know he's listening, you know, just by, I'm like, oh, you heard me say that, you know, like some of my own words will come back out at me and I'll go, you were listening, you know, when they really thought they weren't. So, I mean, it would be the proudest moment just to encourage them and make sure you listen to them, you know, and whatever craft that they're concerned about doing or wanting to do, just be a strong back for them, be wind beneath their wings.
That's wonderful. You know, I remember my daughter telling me one time, she says, Mommy, I watch every single thing you do. Scared me to death. Yeah. And, you know, and my kids tell me all the time, they say, we do listen to you, Mama. You know, you give great advice. Now, because we don't necessarily follow through, that doesn't mean that it's not going to come back. So I totally understand what you're saying. And I encourage parents too. You know, this is the time. Okay. They right there with you.
You can't get away from them.
And they can't get away with you, but incorporate them in your life. You know,
think back to the day
that, you know, there was chores, when there was TV time. When there was cooking in the kitchen, when there was learning how to wash the clothes, when there was outside doing yard work, those things are so valuable now. We have to go back. We have to rewind. We're being reset right now. Another word of encouragement, what would you say to family members that have seniors in these senior care facilities or assisted living facilities, and they're not able to get to them right now? What would you say to them to support those families? Because that's rough.
Well, you know, the facilities now, they're doing some Skypes for people, you know, people who, you know, they're letting them use the phone, they're Skyping, you know, just, it's hard for them because they can't do the visitation thing. But I feel for the ones that when they're sick, they can't come in and see about them. Now, that's a whole new can of worms to me because I feel like it's damaging a lot of people if that should happen. And then they're thinking, oh my goodness, I wasn't there. Because that's the major fear of putting a person in a nursing home is to they fear that they're going to not be there or they're not there enough or they're guilt ridden about it. Or, you know what I'm saying? And they're on the staff constantly because they're like, you're not going to be like me. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So my encouragement for them is, you know, I consider myself to be a pretty good nurse. I'm very compassionate. I consider this the Lord's work and I do it to the best of my abilities. And while they're absent, that their family members are in good hands because they're in my hands, you know? So I'm looking out for them.
Again, for what you do. My niece is an ER nurse. And she says that it's just unbelievable.
It's heartbreaking.
To whom much is given, much is required.
Yes. Yes.
That's all of us. That's all of us. So thank you so much for being here on The Edge, Tiffany Witherspoon. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to get a copy of your book, and when is going to be the release of your children's books.
Well, actually, we're going to be releasing my second book first. It's called A Long Way from Home. I'm sorry. But that's the second one. I just finished that one. So that's on its way out for Library of Congress. But that'll be out first. It's not the sequel to The Promise, which some people have already told me they're upset about that. You know, they just said, it's not long enough, you know? So, I mean, I have to give them a sequel, but I was already working on that one. So I went ahead and finished it up, you know, but the children's books, my son is still illustrating right now. So hopefully, you know, after this, he'll get a move on, you know, you go into business with your 25-year-old son, you know?
And then for some reason, they end up being the boss.
You're like, so can I see something? Did you draw something else? You know, you're like that. So you know, he, and he also does graphic arts. He does his own comic books. He loves animation and anime. Oh, so he's working on his own projects. He, you know, he does like freelance tattoo art, you know, and all that. So I'm kind of moving along with him, but you know.
I know you want him to do it, but you know, creatives are like that, just like you. You know, you can't just sit down and write a whole book. You got to do it when the spirit hits you and when it moves you, and that's what's going to bring out the best. So be patient with him. Tell us how to get a copy of your book. I put all of your links to connect my brains with you on the edge, as well as to connect with you on Amazon so that they can purchase their books. And if you have a website or social media, how do we get in contact with you?
Okay, well, actually I am on Facebook as T.S. Weatherspoon Writer. That's my writer's page. I'm on as Tiffany Weatherspoon, and it's in captions T.S. Weatherspoon. That's my personal. I can be found on teaspoon75.net. It's the letter T, the word spoon75.net. And that's the site for the book. You can also get it at authorhouse.com, and you can get it on Amazon. And like that author page when you get a chance. It's under T.S. Weatherspoon.
And I tell you, Brains, all the time, it's crucial that you leave a comment, you know, on these interviews. I want my people to know that you've paid attention to what's going on, that you're feeling a vibe, that what we're saying is relevant. And if it's not relevant, how we can up our game. And the only way that we know that is by feedback. When you read the book, leave her a comment. That's how she's going to get promoted. That's how her ranking is going to go up on Amazon. It's very important. You know, people are looking at that before they purchase the next book. They want to feel what the vibe was from the first book. Well, I'm feeling your vibe, and I'm sending you good vibrations and love and light for your sacrifice, for being, you know, a military truck driver and a nurse and an author. Girl, you are doing the M-O-S-T the most.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. So, Brains, go back, listen to other edgy conversations. I'm telling you, I got some stuff that is coming up that is cold-blooded. We're going to talk about what's going on in the workforce, how our lives are forever changed, but how, you know, this has made us better people, believe it or not. It,
yes.
You know, the ones that's making it through, it's making us really humble. So, that's what you find on the edge, some humility, and love. We're on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Blog Talk, all the social media platforms. Thank you so much for being on the edge with me, Miss Tiffany. Okay.
Well, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Be good, Brains. Have a great day. I'm counting on you.